This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast bonus episode for you today. One of our regular listeners who often gets a mention on Headley FM, Headley Thorne, he listens to us. He sent us in a question about LTNs in Oxford. What are LTNs, William?
LTN is short for Low Traffic Neighbourhood, and it's a way of basically cutting off rat runs.
Blocking the road.
Blocking the roads. Roads have been blocked mostly by use of bollards and planters.
Yeah.
It's a way of stopping people making shortcuts and trying to encourage more people to be more mobile by other means other than driving.
Yeah, so like the nudge theory in action.
Yeah, you're kind of nudging people to maybe just be a bit, just cycle more, walk more as much as possible.
You're going to get resistance to them because you're getting people to change habits, but you just you have to let people go cold turkey and get through it.
As with everything in this world right now, it seems to, at least on the surface, seems to be a very polarizing subject.
Yeah. Now, Headley has sent in a question, a bonus question for us to revisit, because we have talked about this in a past episode, and I'm going to read this out for a change. And it says, LTNs, I believe, as Headley, are a relatively recent invention, and so what has brought about the requirement for them, and what are their positive and negative effects on the local community and businesses? We can only really talk about Oxford here.
But LTNs aren't a new thing.
Yeah.
At all. There have been roads that have been cut off. Susie's dancing next to me for some reason.
I've not been introduced.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Not been introduced. Okay. Well, Susie Darrington's back. Voice out of the ether.
She's why you were dancing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to.
We were going to introduce you a bit later, so you interrupted our format.
Okay, sorry. You just started discussing the question already.
No, it's all right. But, Susie Darrington's back, so she's going to put her two pennies worth in. What were you saying, William?
I don't know.
They're not a new invention.
LTNs, low traffic neighbourhoods, are not a new invention because there are many roads I can think of in Oxford which have been blocked off.
But not called LTNs.
It's to stop the movement of traffic. The one that springs to mind straight away is Staunton Road. The bottom of that road was cut off, for example.
Or
Milton Road in Oxford, that was also cut off. Or Clive Road in Oxford, that was also cut off.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're not a new invention, really.
Yeah, it's, but they're not necessarily called LTNs, they're just called one-way system.
Yeah, there's that as well. I mean, yes.
But Susie, you wanted to come back for a sit in the listener's chair to talk about LTNs in Oxford. What's your take on them?
Well, I think it's a great way to manage traffic and also a great step in terms of, but I think it needs more movement, but I think it's a great step towards building better public transport links in this country. However, I think it needs to be done with that push as well to do that, because otherwise it's just going to end up with people being pissed off that they can't go where they want to go.
Explicit
episode. Now we can all swear.
Okay.
You've opened the can of words.
Great.
I've opened
the floodgates. Yeah. Also, I don't know if you were in town when the big protest happened against this idea of 15-minute cities, which is very linked to this idea of LTN.
No.
Okay, well, I'm not sure exactly when it was, but it was last year. Last academic year, I should say, there was a big protest which brought loads of people in, and they all were holding yellow signs that were anti-LTN and anti-15-minute cities. I think these ideas are very linked because they think that...
All part of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They think with the low traffic neighbourhoods, you also have the fact that people have to walk, and this idea that this conspiracy, I guess, that the government wants to keep us boxed in. So I'm very interested by all of this, which is why I wanted to come back.
So bringing it back to 15-minute communities, that's sort of like bringing back communities, you know, because not far from here, you've got a parade of shops on Wilkins Road. I remember when I used to live down near there with my mum. She used to, on a Wednesday, would do a half weekly shop at the local parade of shops, and then on a Saturday would go down to the main shopping centre. So it brings back these little community facilities in potentially. But are LTNs a means to that?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility, that's a potential outcome, isn't it? But I think the the whole thing with 15-minute cities and the protests against 15-minute cities and also LTNs, it kind of buys into the reactionary media, really. They want to sort of like show that it really is the government trying to control your life and control what you do and when you do it. In a way, it's almost like, you know, sometimes when you have your life changed in a way, it kind of feels like it's suppression. It's oppression, but it's actually just encouragement to try and live a different way.
Nudge theory
again, yes. But yeah, I think, but when you get so used to it, I mean, I was talking about again this with my wife many times about, I think so many people are just so used to driving as well, for example, that it's almost like it is a habit. It's like, is I go somewhere, I drive there. There's no other way of getting around. I grew up partially in a family that didn't have a car. So my dad had a car, but my mum didn't. They lived separately. So at the weekends, we'd go around in the car, but during the week, it would be on foot mostly or on bike. So I never really had that moment in my youth where I was thinking of like, this is the main method of getting around is to drive. My main method of getting around is actually cycling.
So
I think a lot of people actually, the ones that are resisting it quite often are the ones that just have never had any other means of transport. It's just that's what they go for, the go-to.
You know, there was a similar reaction in where I live, Kendall, a while back when they did a similar kind of nudging. It wasn't with LTNs. It was they turned the main car park into a green space. So instead of people coming into town by car, they would be encouraged to use the public transport, so the buses, or to walk in, which again, like, it was very normal for my nan. She doesn't drive, she doesn't have a car, so she always gets the bus. And my mum always was very into walking, and even though she worked over the other side of town, she would walk that 20-minute walk, and she was very happy with the green space that they put on top of the car park. But a lot of people were very, very angry, and there were lots of protests where people were occupying this green space because they were mad about it.
It's a threat to their habits.
Yeah, their way of doing things.
But if you habitually do one thing and one thing alone, and that's how you say, for example, your mobility is the car, and that's the only way you think about any sort of journey, then if that's curtailed, then it's almost like you are curtailing my life.
Mm. So Headley asks initially, what brought about the requirement of them? Yeah, let's talk about Oxford. What's brought about these roadblocks, these one-way systems?
The climate is the idea.
Solely?
Reducing emissions from vehicles. That was one of the ideas.
But by limiting the way people go, you get more emissions in localised areas because there's more traffic initially where everybody is sort of congested on the arterial roads.
I understand there's less traffic, but it's just more concentrated.
Yeah. So is that, as Susie said...
Well, I was going to say maybe there's a secondary motivation, but it's not that it's a bad motivation, but like wanting... just to not have traffic because it's not nice. So wanting Oxford, lots of tourists, lots of students, wanting people to be able to walk around city centre and see the sights without it being blocked out by a bunch of cars.
We moan that Oxford wasn't designed for cars, and yet we can insist on actually being able to, it's our right to drive through the city and be in congestion.
Yeah, that somebody who's a close relation to mine, I won't say exactly who it is, but I think Stuart might infer who this might be from what I'm about to say.
Which said that plays hockey?
No. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They said, or a city that's made its money out of cars is now banning cars.
Oh, yeah, so, I know.
So it's like...
You mean your dad?
So it basically is like, you know, that's a little bit of rigid thinking.
Yeah.
Because East Oxford really is... here mainly because of the car factory.
Mm. Yeah. Well, things change, things evolve. It's a good thing that things change. Yeah.
That's maybe the rigid thinking. You're not thinking evolutionary wise. You're not thinking the city can evolve.
Banning the car. We're just redirecting where they go and nudging us to move our reliance away from it.
I think it's only a good thing that we would move away from relying on cars, because now that I've lived here and been able to use the public transport, cycling, I really like that. I want to be able to live somewhere where I don't have to have a car, because that's not something I particularly want to invest in, even though I can drive. Where I live, it's not really a thing. It's basically very, very difficult to be able to get around Cumbria, to get around the lakes without a car.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that Oxford is so walkable, so easy to cycle around. I love that. I think it's great, and I think the city looks really nice.
Are there any other motives to bringing Audiens in, to look at Headley's question?
Well, I don't buy the conspiracy that the government is trying to control people or limit their movement and box us all into tiny places where we can't move. I think the bigger ambition would be to have lots of 15-minute cities connected by vast, expansive public transport, trains, for example, so that people can get around to wherever they want to go without having to have all these emissions from cars and all the petrol money from cars. But I think, again, that does require a bit more on the railway side. Not
they've been these ideas have been twisted. I think this is where they've been twisted into the whole idea of it is a form of control that you will only be able to operate in 15 minutes of where you live, which it's not reality when you look at reality. And actually, to be honest with you, most people. I had a really good conversation with somebody recently who lives in Headington.
Yeah.
I mentioned about the farmers market with Stuart, and I've been to many times it's in the school behind Tesco on Cowley Road.
Yeah.
And they can kind of guess where it was or not. They kind of, oh yeah, I can think I know where it is, but I very rarely go there because everything they need, funnily enough, is in within 15 minutes of their house.
Yeah.
They actually operate a lot in Headington. So when I lived in Headington, because I've lived in Headington and Cowley, now when I'm in Cowley, I rarely go to Headington. When I was in Headington, I rarely went to Cowley, because why would I go to Cowley when I'm just going to shopping or meet up with a friend for a coffee or something? It would be the place that's close to you anyway. So the whole idea of 15-minute cities are actually almost happening anyway, naturally.
Second part of Headley's question is, what are the positive and negative effects on local communities and businesses of these Audiens?
I was going to say you might be more inclined to take advantage of the local and independent businesses that are close to you. And also, if to form that personal connection with those people that own those businesses. And I think that's a great way to build community and solidarity within the area that you live.
Because we moan that we don't have community. Is this a means to that?
Yeah, I think it is building communities. And that because more people are walking, if you get more people walking, naturally people bump into each other. One thing I noticed within the lockdowns were, you know, when we'd go, my wife and I, we got our supermarket's about a 15-minute walk from where we live, and that's where we do the majority of our shopping, that when we actually walked there to and from it, and we saw somebody else walking down the other way, we would move over into the road and move out of the way, and to keep the distance, of course, but there would be a communication. You'd actually talk to each other.
Yeah.
At least even in the short form. And also the fact that when you walk as well, you're very likely to bump into people.
Mm.
We're just walking from the birthday party we went to yesterday, and we saw a van. It's like, oh, I know that van. That we know the company of that van. And just happened to be that the two people that our friends were sat in that van. And they then had the conversation about, actually, we went to this restaurant, we went to this cinema, and we realised that the people that we know, our friends, were doing the same things, but maybe in different orders. Mm. But we all ended up in one restaurant at the same time. Or there's been so many times I've been walking down the road, I've just bumped into somebody that I know, and we have a conversation for a couple of minutes. So it is a form of community. You'll never get that in a car.
I think that is the thing I like about Oxford being so walkable, because I'm a student here, I know so many people and I do bump into people all the time. And I've realised I'm a lot more of an extrovert than I thought I was, because I really enjoy these passing interactions with people, even if we're not like super close friends. It feels like I get
just
to know
people. Just a
hello
sometimes.
Yeah.
Just a, oh, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great.
I mean, where you live and I live now, there's a more chance we'll bump into each other for that reason, right?
Yeah,
so
it's
when I've gone through where some of these Audien blocks, roadblocks have been put in, it's just like a little village now. There's no cars. Like for me, I've got a sensory overload situation when I go out, and it's very peaceful, you know, I don't have to worry too much. It's like walking through a country village. But what are the negatives on businesses of these roadblocks?
Well,
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I know somebody who owns a business on Cowley Road. I've known him for many, many years. And also, he lives in a road that is closed to an LTN. So it's quite an interesting... I had a very interesting conversation with them last year, I believe it was, where business-wise, he despises the LTNs, but personally... He loves the LTNs.
Why business-wise?
Business-wise, he sees it because of the business that he runs, which is an eatery on Cowley Road, that it actually meant that people that would normally go and have food at his business, particularly tradespeople, would go and park outside his place and then go and have food. Don't try and figure it out. You probably know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. I am, but there was no room to park anyway.
Exactly, yeah. So the negatives of LTNs are the... resistance to them, and I think some people still, it's just changing somebody's changing habits can take a long time, so the actual negative impacts are the long queues of traffic. Though I still would say, from my own experience, that before the LTNs, Cowley Road was always busy at certain times. I don't know how much it really has impacted. So, for example, I was on the bus at the bottom of Cowley Road going towards the plane. I know if you probably listen to this in another part of the world, but I was looking at how busy the different roads were. And I was thinking that if these people were coming down this road and they can't get a cut across to Cowley Road, which I was on, then you'd go down to the roundabout and come back again. But there was hardly any traffic coming up the road. So it suggested to me that people were going through the city rather than actually across here. Mm. So actually LTNs maybe weren't having that negative impact. But I don't know.
I think that if you don't have LTNs with solid public transport, you have a real possibility of isolating disabled people and elderly people who can't walk as far or as easily. I think you need to have it in combination with, buses and trains so that people who have limited mobility can, easily get places that they want to be.
This eatery you're talking about, I'm not convinced tradespeople, used to park outside his eatery, because I never used to see that. I'm convinced most people went to that eatery on foot.
Yeah, and the negative impacts of LTNs. So there have been a plethora of businesses that have closed down and have cited specifically the low traffic neighbourhoods as being the reason why they've closed. Right. What I think is...
I'd like to see the evidence.
You'd like to see the evidence. What is stark, actually, what is interesting, is there was one business that said they closed down because of that and very upset about it. But actually, another business has come along in the same location doing almost identical to what they originally were doing. So I'm thinking...
What it could be is because I think a lot of the LTNs, in name at least, started popping up around 2020. So this is really coinciding with the pandemic.
Yeah.
So to try and, I guess, blame LTNs when we did literally have a lockdown and people were avoiding certain activities because they were scared of getting ill or getting their family members ill.
People's behaviours changed.
Yeah, exactly. People have... change their behaviour and
people are spending less.
Yeah,
I would like to. All these businesses on the Cowley Road. There's a restaurant.
Not parking.
Yeah,
because when I walk up there, there's hardly any parking on the side.
It never was.
Space.
Yeah, even in the side streets, there never was. The guy who runs a number of restaurants. There's various people who run shops down little side streets. They're citing that their turnover is gone down and people can't access their businesses since the LTNs went in. I would like to actually see the books because you had Brexit, you had the pandemic. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Everybody forgets about Brexit. Oh, yeah. Brexit happened.
Brexit is, I forgot. Of course, that's a massive impact. Yeah.
You had the pandemic. You had the change of behaviour after the pandemic.
You've got the Russian invasion in Ukraine, which has infected a lot of prices.
These other much more impactful.
I would like to see, and also the cost of living crisis, I would like to see the books to actually try and pick this apart. Because I don't see a lot of these businesses, I don't believe people used to drive to a lot of these places. And I will talk about a couple. The Panda House on Holloway.
Mm.
chip shop. And there's going to be a bus gate put in end of next year here to block certain types of traffic. And then the only traffic that will be blocked will be cars, vans, motorbikes, buses, you know, emergency services, carers will all be able to go through. Panda House chip shop has said he's going to close his business because his turnover's gone down. He reckons it takes his drivers 45 minutes longer to deliver the takeaways. And I'm thinking, well, how? Because you're open in the evening and most of the congestion, which you say is caused by the LTNs, is dispersed. And I know, and this might be a bit of a, you might come and sue me for saying this. I know the guy who runs the Panda House. And 15 years ago, he said he would have retired. But he said he's got a daughter going through university and this business is paying for that. And obviously he's stayed and he's getting to a point now where he wants to retire and later in the article he said, I don't have a business that is viable because of these LTNs. I'm going to put it up for sale. You can't, you know, obviously it is viable. Obviously you wouldn't put it up for sale.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying, oh, this car, I can't run this car because it's not working very well, but I'm going to sell it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, why is it, I don't know, I see a lot of Uber Eats and Just Eat drivers that deliver food and they're all on bikes.
Mopeds. Yeah.
Mopeds, electric bikes, regular bikes. And they're very, very speedy.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why those people couldn't be?
Yeah, exactly.
And moped riders go through the LTNs. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then across the road, you've got a place, Smith & Low, which is like an Aladdin's Cave, a hardware store. Yes. You know, everything. I love going in there and just challenging them to see what, if they've got, so I've got something they don't have. And they generally do, but it's covered in dust. Anyway, They're saying that their turnover's down, but that, you know, but they can't actually cite lack of parking because they've got a nice big car park out the back. I'm not convinced that the locals aren't going there. Mm. So all these businesses that are citing LTNs are destroying their businesses. I would actually like to see the paperwork, and then, and if it's true, it's true.
I think it's the, I think the word adaptability,
yeah,
has got to be put into this, because these businesses are not adapting. So there was one business which I would mention by name, Honest Stationery, which went out of business, and they again cited through the Oxford Mail, you know, the speaker of truth, that it was LTNs that led them to going out of business.
Yeah.
I would cite also the fact that there's many other reasons. They're a stationery shop. Most people don't buy stationery online at their local supermarket when they're out shopping. And also, I think that that shop never changed. It never moved on. It never adapted in any way, shape, or form. It wasn't looked after.
The problem with running a stationery shop is never going anywhere.
But the adaptability of people, but adaptability is there. I had
was a joke there, and it went over your heads.
I didn't even listen to it. Sorry, right. but the
stationery shop not going anywhere. Okay,
sorry.
All right, go on.
That's the worst of my jokes. But we were just walking down Marsh Road actually, and we noticed these two electric, almost like cargo bikes.
Yeah,
really big things, like with a proper hood on it.
There's a number of them in Oxford now,
and there was a couple of them, and they were branded with a company name. It was a window washing company.
Yeah.
And the guy saw us looking at them and he came over with a flyer, are you interested? And I said, no, I'm just looking at these. And he's like, yeah, this is the way forward now. Because of the LTNs, we can actually use these smaller electric vehicles that are actually more mobile. Yeah. And actually, we can probably get a lot more work done because they're easier to park and they're not fighting traffic. So actually, they're adapting their business. So people, I think the businesses that are going to, well, will go to the wall are those maybe are not able to adapt or maybe have lost the energy to adapt.
Is there
a controversial opinion?
I know this is going to be controversial as well, but is there a natural wastage involved in this? If a community evolves, those units that are running a business in a certain way, maybe they need to be something else. Mate, because you always say with running a business, the location is key. Now, if the location is changing and you have a business, maybe that business needs to relocate. But maybe the local authority also has a responsibility for allowing that transition for that business to move by opening up funding and opportunity so they can relocate to a better area.
Relocate to a better area and then also maybe have an adaptation of usage as yeah. well for the unit as well. The one thing that's just popped into my head about adaptation and changing, when I was in Finland, the local town has basically a new covered market built, and the people that I'm friends with in Finland are maybe my generation, slightly older, were all sort of saying, well, actually, this isn't what it should be, because usually this sort of shopping hall, as it's called in Finnish, is normally shops. You know, you walk in and there's different various types of shops, but actually it's more. There's a couple of units that are sort of like shops, but mostly it's eateries and bars and that type of thing. Now I'm thinking about it, that actually maybe the authorities are adapting to the change in way people behave. That actually when you buy anything, you actually generally buy things online, actual commodities and products and that type of thing. So what people are really maybe looking out for more is places to go and meet friends with, like a new eatery or a new bar or a new cafe. So maybe they're actually thinking about that's their thinking. It's another way of adapting. So it could be they actually just created this shopping hall and all these little shops went there, but it flopped within about 6 months because nobody is actually needing that. The needs have changed.
What do we think we should encourage the council, the authority who are putting these in, to sit tight and just ride this out for the benefit of the communities? Or should they concede to some of the pressure of getting rid of the LTNs? Is it just they've got to sit tight on this?
I think, I don't know, I think it does need to sit tight really and ride it out, because I think, you know, things have to change with... like structurally on a much larger scale, things have to change because we're facing a climate crisis and people can kick their feet, but at the end of the day we've got to drag those people with us because it's in their long-term interests, it's in their kids, their grandkids' long-term interests, and I think that's the most important thing. And also I think we're seeing a shift in attitude. I think younger generations are much more maybe upset about the climate crisis and much more willing to accept these changes because they've not had the time to develop the same habits that older people have.
Yeah, the balanced view is that LTNs are good for communities, but there are some businesses that are going to struggle. So they need maybe help to relocate to better areas. Mm-hmm. There are maybe some local people who might struggle because things have been cut off. And then so that needs looking at. It's not the is it good to do it, it's how it's done, how the LTNs are done, how they're put in, how they are spread.
There needs to be transitional support in place.
I'm just thinking of an action.
An action is to instead of actually jumping on one of the polarized views of I'm pro LTN or I'm against LTNs, actually maybe have a bit more of a balanced view and see what opportunities are thrown up by LTNs and how they could maybe be installed better.
I would also say that my challenge, my action would be to challenge your own habits of how you actually get around. I mean, I think often the assumption is that driving is the most efficient and fastest way of getting somewhere
and also the most cost effective, but that's not true.
It's not true actually. The one thing that I've always grateful for my wife being bringing in the idea of walking places. Min actually used to walk to work when she worked in the centre of town, and that was about an hour walk every day there, so 2 hours there and back, and she always told me that it was a great moment to switch on to work and then switch off from work. You don't get that when you're driving.
No.
And actually, when you're driving, for example, all you're thinking about is your destination. You're not thinking about the steps along the way, literally. I think that's another way of thinking about it, and a challenge of just think about how you habitually do things and how you habitually get around the place.
I think the LTNs can provide a nicer space to walk in. much nicer than just walking along a road with cars. And what you were saying about men tuning in and tuning out, it reminds me of some of your workshop kind of ideas about really engaging with your surroundings and nature, which is a scarce commodity sometimes.
I think on balance, I'm pro LTNs. I'm not necessarily agree how some of them have been done. I think it's more costly, but I think having cameras, ANPR things, so it's open, and you know, so because at the moment a lot of the carers that go and support the vulnerable in the community are struggling to get to where they want to go because things have been shut. I think like bus gates and things, but it's costly, you know. But
it does cost you. But in the long term, hopefully, it would actually bring a benefit.
Yeah, in the long term, it will put more cars on certain arterial roads. But you have to ride that out because then people will say, this is too congested, I'll find a different way. So you just have to ride it out. So Headley, do you want to read Headley's question out again, William, and then see if there's anything else you want to say on this?
So Headley's question is, LTNs, I believe, are a relatively recent invention. And so what has brought about the requirement for them, and what are the positive and negative effects on the local community and businesses?
Susie Darrington's been back. I've been Stuart the Wild Man Mabbit. We didn't actually introduce ourselves, William. William's been William. And then we introduced Susie at the top.
William's done a very good job at being William.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Susie, you've done a very good job of being Stuart.
Thank you.